Appreciate that. And turn your Bibles, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 4. And we're going to be continuing through the gifts of the Spirit here this evening. And over the last couple of weeks, we've been discussing some things about the gifts of the Spirit. And as we've looked at them, in light of what they mean to us, of course, as believers, how we should see them, if you will. And we talked about how there's many different gifts and how they are only given to saved people. These spiritual gifts, these gifts of the Spirit here that we are discussing, they are not given to the unsaved. They are given to the ones who have accepted Christ as their personal Savior in repenting of their sins and, of course, trusting Him. That's who these gifts are for. God gives them to believers, and He gives them, as we discussed, for the edification of each other, the brethren in the local New Testament church. It's never to build just one person up. No, it's always to build up the church. And the Bible says that, of course, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ said, "And upon this rock will I build my church," speaking of Himself. And we cannot use a spiritual gift and call it using our spiritual gift if we are doing that to advance ourselves. We are to do that to build up Christ. And everyone that sees a believer, they should be seeing Christ, seeing Christ's work in each and every one of our lives. So hopefully that's what's happening in our lives, and may the Lord help us to continue in that. But 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 4, I want you to notice what the Bible says here. It says, "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit." And we're going to talk about that tonight, that we see there in that verse, the diversities of gifts. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll get started here this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before You tonight, and we just thank You, Lord, for the opportunity we have to be here. Lord, I do pray that You would help us, Lord, to just draw closer to You and Your word. I do pray that, that each one of us, Lord, would just be willing to listen to what You would have to say to us. Lord, I pray that You would guide and direct us in these things. And Lord, the gifts of the Spirit is something that many people have taken out of context, Lord. And I pray that we would not go off of just what we've heard, but by what we read in Your word. And Lord, I do pray that You would help us to rightly divide the word of truth when it comes to all things. But Lord, as we're going through this series here, help us to rightly divide it in this area as well. Lord, I pray that You'd give us clarity of thought, give me clarity of mind and speech as well, Lord. And I pray that when we leave here, we'd be more fervent witnesses for You. And that we want Your name to be honored and magnified. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So this evening here, of course, as we read there in our passage, "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit." I want to talk to you about the diversities of the gifts tonight. Now, as we look at this, we're going to look at some categories, if you will, of the gifts. And as you study the Bible, you're going to find that the gifts of the Spirit, they are mentioned in many different passages in many different ways and those types of things as the Lord sees fit. And as you look at them, you're going to find some that are similar one to another. You're going to find other ones that are that seem to be completely different in and of themselves. And we see that there, that there are diversities of gifts there. In verse 5, it says, "And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but is the same God which worketh all in all." So the diversities of the gifts. Now, this message here that I'm preaching tonight, we are not going to get into the specific gifts tonight, but we're not going to discuss them individually tonight. We're just going to categorize them and deal with each one just briefly here. And the reason being is because it is important for us as believers to have a good foundation when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit. It's important for us to start off on the right ground. When someone is going to build a home, they're going to build a building of some sort, whatever it may be, they don't just go in there and start throwing sticks together and call it a house. No, there's groundwork that has to be done first. And unless that groundwork is done, they can do all they wanted with the other parts of the building, but if a wind comes, guess what? The building's going to fall over because it's not fastened the way that it's supposed to be fastened. And the same thing is true with the gifts of the Spirit. Believers, for too long, have taken the gifts of the Spirit out of context. For too long, we have looked at the gifts of the Spirit And I say we as a broad term, speaking of Christianity itself, and we've done some things with the gifts of the Spirit, or what we call the gifts of the Spirit, that are not God-honoring. You'll find that in so-called churches all across the world. You'll find ones that claim to be acting in the gifts of the Spirit. That's not at all what the Bible would declare what they are doing. So here in our minds, we need to set a foundation. As we study through these in the near future, we will understand why and how God used in the past and desires to use each of these gifts today. So first of all, notice there on your handout, notice the characteristics of the gifts, the characteristics of the gifts. So I want you to look at 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10, if you will. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10 and also verse 11. 1 Peter chapter 10 or chapter 4, verse 10 and 11. Notice the Bible says this: as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So notice there, it speaks of a couple of different gifts. And I put there on your handout, just so you have it for reference there. And we're going to be going through each one of these things individually as we continue through the study in the following weeks to come. But notice you see spoken gifts in your in the blocks there, and then also service gifts. You see the ones that say past, and you see the ones that say present. So as we study through these things, we're going to give a lot more background on each one of them. This is not as deep as the study is going here, but I want us to have this so that we can have these things in our minds. A lot of times if I have something visually, then I can remember it a little better than I can just hearing something said to me. So we're going to divide them in the past and the present. There's gifts that we're going to discuss that were used only in the early church. And they were used in the early church during the first century there. And when a person or preacher says, well, there's some gifts that they are past gifts, they're not being used any longer, some people will say things like this: well, then you're saying that our God changes. No, it's not what I'm saying at all. I'm not saying that God changes. If you look over at the book of Malachi, we can see exactly what the Bible says about God being unchanging. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6. Notice the Bible says, "For I am the Lord, I change not." We know that God does not change, but God does have plans for different times and different seasons. He works in different dispensations and all of those things. So clearly we can see that there are some things that God gave because of something that was not yet given yet. Our God is always the same, but notice this. When we talk about the past gifts, okay, I want you to see there, apostles, prophets, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, tongues, interpretation of tongues, miracles, healings, things like that. As we discuss those things there, there was something that we have that the first century church did not have. That's the completed word of God. They didn't have what we have. They didn't have the completed revelation of God, of himself to mankind. They didn't have everything that we have. We're reading about them in this. We're reading about their life. Therefore, they could not, here in the church in Corinth, they couldn't open to the book of 1 Corinthians here and say, well, look, here's what it says. No, this is a letter that was written to them. So they did not have the word of God. Therefore, God spoke to them and did things in their lives in a way that would help them. They were living during the times that we are reading about. Therefore, there were gifts that God gave to them that ceased at the completion of the canon of Scripture. Then, of course, there's some that continued, and we studied last week. Why did they continue? They continued for the sole purpose of the edification of the church and of believers. That's why we have these present spoken gifts and present service gifts. It's for that reason and that reason alone.
So not only do we see the past and present gifts, but notice there it's broken down in the spoken and then also the service gifts, if you will. There in the past spoken, notice what it says, apostle, prophet, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, tongues, interpretation of tongues. And we say past because the prophet that is being spoken of here, when you read the word prophet here in this context, it means someone that is foretelling. So as we're studying the gifts of the Spirit, and you see the word prophet there, it's going to be talking about someone that is describing something that is to come, that was not already penned in the Word of God. That's what the prophet is. We think of John with the book of Revelation. We think of ones like that, the prophets that we see throughout the Old Testament as well. These ones that we're talking about, these things are going to come. They were foretelling things. We have everything that God wanted to foretell. We have it right here in the Word of God. He's given it to everyone. So we are not to be the type of prophets that we're reading of here in the past spoken gifts there. No, the word prophet today that we are to be is not a foreteller, but it is a forth-teller. What are we supposed to be preaching forth? Well, it's the Word of God. And telling people that there was a man by the name of Jesus Christ that came and he lived among men for 33 years. He was beaten worse than any man could ever be beaten. He was the very Son of God, left heaven, came to earth, was crucified on the cross of Calvary, and he shed his blood there to pay for our sin debt. He was put into the grave, and 3 days later he arose from the grave. He's in heaven forevermore. That's what we are to be foretelling. We're not to be foretelling anything. If somebody says, well, I know something about the future that Bible doesn't talk about, and you say, well, you can go tell it to somebody else then, amen? We don't need anything else. No, all we need is what the Word of God says. So as we talk about these things, those are the types of examples that we're going to bring out. Notice the apostle that we read of with the capital A apostle. You know, it's amazing when you these church vans drive by and it's Apostle so-and-so on the side. You say, wow, that must be an old person. Because a biblical the biblical standard for an apostle was an eyewitness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I've yet to meet one of them apostles that said, yes, I'm an eyewitness of Jesus Christ. Because they're not. They're not true apostles. How about the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom? Well, we have both of those. And they're right there in your lap tonight, hopefully, if you have a copy of the scriptures. We have the word of knowledge, amen. We have the word of wisdom. They're found in the word of God. Notice tongues and interpretation of tongues are the exact same way. And we're going to discuss those in great detail when we come to those as well. But that's what we're talking of when we speak of the past spoken gifts. And notice also we see the past service gifts. Now when you look at this and you say, wait a second, past service gifts, what are you talking about? Miracles are only in the past. Don't you believe that our God is a God of miracles? Yes, I do, wholeheartedly. I've prayed for God to do something miraculous. I know that God can do that. How do I know that? Because he saved my soul. Hopefully, if you're here tonight and you're saved, you realize that God did a miraculous work in your life as well, because there's not one of us that were worth saving. It doesn't matter how good of a person you've been, how nice you are, how much you've given, or how long you've been in church and all of that. Aside from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ doing a work in our life, we are wicked, rotten sinners on our way to hell. That's what we are. God did a miracle when he saved our soul from hell. He is a miracle-working God. So when I say these past service gifts and miracles and in healings, just because it is a, quote, past gift does not mean that God cannot perform miracles or that he cannot heal. We know that he is all-powerful, amen? He is the great physician. If we have an ailment, our prayer should be, Lord, if it's your will, I pray that you would heal me. I pray that you would take this away from me. But we want to make sure that God is that we're praying for God's will to be done. We know that he can heal because there's nothing too hard for God. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. We know that to be true as God's people. The reason they are past gifts is because we are talking about the gifts being past that were given to man. No one is walking around today having a special gift of miracles. They're not walking around today having a special gift of healing. No, that is something that only God can do through the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, we can pray that God would heal or that God would perform a miracle in a situation, but the truth of the matter is God will do those things if and when it's in His will. That's when God works. We see the past spoken gifts, then also the past service gifts. Now, bear with me here. There's a lot of information in this message tonight, but like I said, we're setting some foundations for the messages to come. Notice also the things that are present. We see the present spoken gifts there. Of course, we see in the scriptures, we see the pastor, we see the teacher, we see the one who exhorts, we see the evangelist as well. The pastor is one in the scriptures, which means ruler or authority. The teacher is one who gives instructions. An exhorter is one who encourages. An evangelist is one who reaches out, does a work evangelizing the lost souls. So when we look at these, obviously we could say God is using these things today, and we see Him using them, of course, through the remainder of the New Testament as well. We see those things happening there. Those are present spoken gifts. God is using people in those areas. And can I tell you this today? God still needs people to be pastors. He needs people to be teachers. He needs people to exhort one another, to encourage. He needs ones to evangelize. God still needs those things, and He gives those gifts to believers. Why is there not more people answering the call of God? Why is that? Because there's an awful lot of people that say, well, He can call someone else. There's plenty of people, why doesn't it have to be me? Meanwhile, as we talked about last week, meanwhile, the gift that God is giving to them is going stale. Lord, help us for that to not be true in our lives. God is using these things today. And then also we see the present, the service gifts, if you will. Notice the administering, the faith, giving, helps, mercy, and discerning of spirits. We're going to read about all of those things as we continue through the study of the gifts of the Spirit. But notice that is the past and the present things there. So as we continue through the study, hopefully that will help us in our minds to keep these things in their rightful place there. So notice, first of all, the characteristics of the gifts. Notice, secondly, there we see, notice the motivational gifts, the motivational gifts. I want you to look at Romans chapter 12, if you will. Romans chapter 12. There in Romans chapter 12, we're going to be looking at verse 3 through verse 9. Verse 3 through 9 of Romans chapter 12. Notice here in Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 3, the Bible says this, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Now, notice there, as we read through those things, we talked about prophecy, we talked about faith, we talked about ministry, exhorting, and all those types of things as we read through that passage there. But just before that, just before he goes through this list here, notice what he says in the beginning of the passage. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And then he starts talking about these gifts that are given to us. He talks in the end of verse 3 there about that measure of faith. Of course, that is the childlike faith that each and every person is dealt with. Everyone has the ability to trust Christ as their personal Savior because everyone has been dealt the measure of faith, that childlike faith there. So he tells them before he ever gets to the gifts, he says, I beseech you, I'm begging you that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He's telling them it should not be up for debate in a Christian's life whether or not they're going to serve the Lord. It shouldn't be a question. It should be made up in our minds. It should be something that when we get up on a Sunday morning, our family does not have to say, well, are we going to church today? We went to church Sunday morning, so are we going to go back tonight? Or what about Wednesday night? Well, I'm a little tired. I don't think we're going to go tonight. No, that should never be a question. Be in the house of God. We should be serving the Lord. Are we going to take tracts out today? Yes, we're going to take tracts. It shouldn't be a question. We should have them with us. Be able to give out the gospel of Jesus Christ. Be willing to be a witness everywhere we go. It's something that we should do because we should be a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. But we can only do that if verse 2 is true in our lives. And be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Each and every one of us, if you're saved here tonight, hopefully you've had a renewing of your mind, amen? Trusting in Christ your Savior, and your life should be brand new. It should be changed. Therefore, we should be putting away the things of the old man, taking on the things of Christ Jesus, taking on the things of the Bible, this new man, and that includes these gifts of the Spirit, allowing God to work through our life, these motivational gifts. Here in this passage that we just read, we read here of some gifts that are motivational: prophecy and teaching and exhorting and ruling, mercy, notice, with cheerfulness. And as we go through this study in the next few weeks here, we're going to divide each and every one of these, but this category here, these motivational gifts, as we discuss these gifts that are motivational, it's important for us to realize the motivation is something that is to be motivating someone to get better in their Christian life. We should be encouraging one another rather than dragging each other down. God forbid a believer would be living a life of always driving someone down. But there's a lot of churches who are full of believers who do not use their gift for motivation, but rather spend their time tearing others down. That should not be the case. We are to care for one another as believers. We're to care for the lost as well. There in verse 8, notice it says, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, and he that showeth mercy, notice, with cheerfulness. We should be cheerfully showing mercy to others. You know, when we show mercy to someone, we act like it's the end of the world for us. Somebody does something and say, well, I guess I got to show mercy. I'm a Christian. That's not showing mercy with cheerfulness. Amen. You know how you can ensure that you're showing mercy with cheerfulness? Before you ever show mercy, just remember how much mercy you've been shown. That'll be enough to cheer you up, amen? Understanding that our Lord and Savior snatched us from the pits of hell. That's mercy. We should be showing mercy with cheerfulness. That mercy is not to be as shallow as we try to make it. No, the word mercy, it means to show compassion. There's nothing that will motivate a person to become more like Christ than showing mercy to them will. We're to have compassion. Be merciful. Have mercy with cheerfulness. We also see there exhorting. That word exhort, it means to call near, it means to invite, it means to invoke and beseech, to call for. It means to lead someone to be of good comfort, to desire, to entreat, and to pray. There's a lot in the word exhort, but those are the things that we should be doing with the power of the Holy Spirit. Why do we go soul winning? Why do we do that? To invite people to come to Christ. That's why we're going. We're not going so that people will walk through these doors on a Sunday morning. That's not why we're doing it. Now, praise the Lord, when he brings the people and someone gets saved and they come in and they follow the Lord in scriptural baptism and they're added to the church, that's a scriptural pattern there, but that's not why we knock on doors. We knock on doors to give them the gospel and let the Holy Spirit do the rest of the work. Amen? That's why we do it. We should be doing it with the power of the Holy Spirit. A believer should never be one who is walking around as though all is wrong with life. When you go out soul winning, you should be walking with a pep in your step, amen? Walking up to a door, realizing that you get the opportunity to serve our Lord and Savior. We should be exhorting them, calling them to come to Christ, telling them what Christ did for us. One of the best things that you can ever do when telling someone about the gospel is let them know what Christ did in your life, your personal testimony. You know why? Because it's in those times in which they'll see what Christ really did for you. When they see that the tears that come to your eye when you're thinking of what the Lord and Savior saved you from, when they realize that's not something that's made up. There's been a difference been made in this person. We should be exhorting them to come. You know, we as believers, we have a reason to sing, amen? I love singing. Some people may not like the singing, but I love singing, amen? I love the rejoicing. We have a reason to rejoice. And we as believers should be showing that reason to rejoice, that reason we have to sing, we should be showing that to others. You know, when you walk through a store and somebody says, "Why are you so happy?" Amen. Praise the Lord. You're going to look at them and say, "Well, why are you not so happy? Amen. Why are you so down?" Don't say that. Tell them, "Because of Jesus. Amen. He made a difference in my life." You know, there's many believers, unfortunately, that will go through many days without even cracking a smile. That's sad. That is so sad. People going through life as though all is wrong with the world. We have a reason to smile. We should be exhorting with our words and with our life, and that will motivate others to live for Christ. We see here teaching. This has to do with giving to others. You know what teaching requires? How many of you have ever been a teacher? I know Miss Martha's been a teacher, right? You've been a teacher. Has anyone else ever been a teacher? How about the Sunday school teachers, things like that, okay? You know what teaching requires? Giving of yourself to others. That's what it requires. And the truth of the matter is, we can remember the ones who taught us something. Remember ones who taught you something? Why do you remember that? You may not remember a lot of the things that they taught, but you remember them taking from their time in giving of themselves to invest in you. You remember that? We as believers should be doing the same thing. The Christian life, listen, the Christian life is going to be time consuming. It's supposed to be. We are to give our life. We are to be a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. We should be teaching others. In the book of 1 Timothy, in the book of 1 Timothy, Paul was exhorting young Timothy, this young preacher in the faith, this young pastor there, and he told him to teach others also. He was telling him, you need to be exhorting. You need to be teaching. letting these people know what Christ did for them. Teaching requires giving. You know, you cannot teach someone something without giving of yourself. And we all remember those ones who have taught. And as we give of ourselves as believers to teach others, that will motivate someone else to become more and more like Christ. We should be giving of ourselves. We should be teaching. We should be exhorting. We should be showing mercy. And also, we see there the word ruling as well. Now, this has to do with the job of the office of the pastor, if you will. The office of the pastor is not supposed to be a constant browbeating of people, but rather an office that speaks the truth in love. You know, as a pastor, you're called to rightly divide the word of truth. You're supposed to preach the whole counsel of God. Some of these verses, guess what? They're not easy to preach. Not easy to live either. And we all need God's help. We're supposed to speak the truth in love, care for people, but too many times we see many ones who fill the office of the pastor and they see it as mere harsh authority rather than the job of leading. Second of all, we saw those motivational gifts there. And then we see, number three, notice what we're going to call the ministerial gifts, the ministerial gifts. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and then also the book of Ephesians as well. Ephesians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and Ephesians chapter 4. The ministerial gifts. Notice here 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 5, and then we're going to jump down to verse 27 as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 5, it says this, "And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord." Now jump down to verse 27 through verse 31. It says, "Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gift of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way." So notice there these gifts of ministry, and turn over to Ephesians if you will, but these gifts of ministry here, they have to do with the office of ministering. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, notice the Bible says this, we'll read down to verse 12. It says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." Now, when someone says, well, what is an evangelist supposed to do? What's a pastor supposed to do? What's a teacher supposed to do? I just don't know what I'm supposed to do. Well, Ephesians 4:12, it says, "For the perfecting of the saints." That means the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry. You know, the ministry is work. It's work. And if we are going to be involved in the ministry, guess what? There's going to be work. There's always things to be done. And then also we see there as well at the end of that verse, something that all of us should be doing, edifying the body of Christ. We should all be doing that. Starting there in back in 1 Corinthians, if you will, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, when you look down in verse 28, notice it says, "And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles and the gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues," and so on there. We see those offices, apostles, prophets, teachers, also evangelists, pastors. And then also we saw those other things, interpretations of tongues, helps, and those governments and those things. And there's a list here that's given in verse 29 and 30. And notice it's questions that are posed. It says, "Are all apostles?" Another question. "Are all prophets?" Another question. "Are all teachers?" "Are all workers of miracles?" have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Of course, we know that the answer to that is no. It's not been given to everyone, but God has given it rightly to the ones in which he sees fit to give to. See, all believers are given at least a gift or some gifts, but none are given all. Not everyone can be an evangelist. Not everyone can be a missionary. Not everyone can be a pastor. And of course, I'm using these terms in the way that use these terms today. I'm not talking about giving out the gospel. Everyone can do that. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. That is for everyone. That doesn't talk about just standing behind a pulpit and declaring a truth. No, it is declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're all to do that. But not everyone can be a leader. Though not all can, or there's no one that can do everything, all can do something. And as we go throughout these messages here, it's my hope and my prayer that God would show each and every one of us individually what our specific job is. We know that we're to be preaching the gospel. We know that. We've proven that from Scripture. There's no question about it. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. That word ye applies to everyone who ever hears that is who it applies to. In the original Greek language, that's what it means. So we know it applies to us if you're saved. So what about these other things? When God tells us that you have that gift, then it's time for us to make the decision on whether or not we're going to obey. How about we make the decision now? Lord, whatever you tell me to do, that's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to wait. I'm going to do whatever I can for you. And then notice lastly there, notice the manifestation gifts. The manifestation gifts. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 6 through 11, if you will. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 6 through 11. Notice it says this. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. The gifts of the Spirit are not found in a supermarket where you go in and you say, well, I'll take this one and I'll take that one, but I'll tell you what, the cost of that one's a little high and I just don't want to spend that today, so I'm going to take some of these cheaper ones here. No, they're all of equal value, but we can only use the ones that God gives us. But we're responsible to use the ones that God gives us. See a list of these things that are manifested through the work of God in the life of a individual, and notice the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, faith, the discerning of spirits, healing, prophesying, tongues, and these are the gifts that have been and or are manifested now in the life of a believer. Some of these were only for then, some are for now as well. And it's important for us as believers to keep these things separated in our minds. I tell you this, you're going to be questioned on these things. It's going to come. Here's what we're going to be fighting against. And you say, how do you know we're going to be fighting against this? Because we fight against it all the time now. I've got family members in which I've not literally fought, but discussed these things with. And here it is. You ready? My experience. Well, here's what I've experienced. Yeah, but that was a gift of the Spirit that was for them. I don't know how you can say that because I've experienced this. You know, as lovingly as We know how. Here's the truth. It doesn't matter what you've experienced. It matters what the Word of God says. Because the truth of the matter is our flesh will do all kinds of things. Our heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Our flesh wants to go against the Word of God. So as we study these things, as we discuss the gifts of the Spirit, we have to understand what the Bible says about them. When they were used, whether it was then, whether it was now, and of course some that were used at both times, what the gifts are, and which gifts God has given to us individually. And God gives those gifts out for the edifying of the brethren, as we discussed, and for the edifying of the church. We talked about the growth factor, the constructive factor of these gifts. You'll have a gift that I don't have, but I have a gift that you don't have. So when we put all those things together, it's just like a working body. All the parts of the body working together, guess what? They can accomplish something. But if one leg decides, you know what? I'm not working today. You're going to have some issues. Your hand decides, I'm not picking that up. It's going to be a burden on the other hand, isn't it? See, if we decide, well, I know what my gift is. The Holy Spirit told me what it was. But I'm not going to use that because I just don't feel comfortable being that way. You're disobeying the Holy Spirit. And the church is paying the consequences of that. Each and every one of us need to understand that God has given us gifts of the Spirit. The Bible says so, and it says there in verse 11, but all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. We should always choose to obey the Word of God. And may the Lord help us to know and to understand these foundational truths of the gifts of the Spirit. Amen.